Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to say that I subscribe to the view that you cannot have liberty without virtue, meaning good habits, self-control, self-government. And you cannot have virtue, at least for the majority of the people, except for belief in a just God who would demand an accounting of our behavior.
From the shootings on the East Coast to the broken border on the South border, and coming to you from a small but rebuilt single wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell here. Good morning to you. We've still got this breaking news on the shooter, what motivated him, and a lot of other things. But I think it bears in mind that today on the 19th of June 2015, that we bear in mind that this person was another individual on SSRI serotonin inhibitor drugs. It's another person who was not just some totally disconnected wacko shooter, although he may be that. But he's also an individual who is being treated for a psychiatric disorder, who was on drugs, who went out, and despite being under the direction of, or care of a psychiatrist, went out and started shooting up the town. So I think it behooves us to bear in mind that this pharmaceutical cure to psychiatric illness is a total hoax, because there's an important percentage of these people that whether it's between 1 and 10%, I think on this particular drug this kid was on, that had a violent reaction. And so we are taking these most troubled people and we are putting them on drugs that some small percentage of them will cause a violent outburst. And specifically, I'm talking about this kid, Dylan Storm Roof, who was apparently an Aryan, as a white supremacist. He was taking Suboxone. Suboxone is a drug that they use to get people off of other drugs, and that they use this drug to get people off of heroin and such. And I did some research on this for you and found out on drugs.com and another site that this this Suboxone has a failure rate or a rate of violence that is I thought was way too big. So anyway, drugs.com Suboxone side effects, talking about the various things that will happen to you or could happen to you when you take this drug. Psychiatric, common, 1 to 10% anxiety, depression, nervousness, abnormal thinking. So up to 10% of people who are on this drug. And now how do they know that this kid was on this drug? They know it because when they arrested him before, that it was that he had a prescription for this Suboxone. All right. Now, here is uncommon, from a tenth of a percent, though, to 1% of the people who take this drug will have abnormal dreams, agitation, apathy, depersonalization, drug dependence, euphoric mood, hostility. So, and here is the post-marketing reports after the drug has already come out and been legalized: hallucinations, attempted suicide, insomnia. So you've got from 1 to 10% of the people on this drug this kid was on that have anxiety, depression, nervousness, and abnormal thinking. What exactly is abnormal thinking? Thinking outside of the norm. Uncommon, but up to 1%. Now think about this. And there was an article in the Washington Times that talked about, why don't we prescribe this drug to more people that are trying to get off of heroin, because of the number of people that are on heroin and the chaos and tragedy that heroin causes. Why not, you know, substitute this? Well, the reason is, in my opinion, that even if 1%, let's say you have, let's just say you have 100,000 people in the United States on this drug, 1% of those, or 1,000 people, will have abnormal dreams, agitation, apathy, depersonalization, drug dependence, euphoric mood, hostility. Now, can you say that these drugs caused the violence? I mean, I think we got to be careful. But here's the standard, though. I think, but for this drug, this person would not have been dealing with hostility. And stuff like that. And it's happening a time and time again that these shooters are on these. They're talking to a psychiatrist. We're dealing with this in James Holmes up in up in Colorado. This shooting that happened up there. We've got the same thing. You've got a person who came into a psychiatrist who said that he didn't I think he was dealing with depression. So you've got the pharmaceutical cure, which is of course no cure whatsoever. The pharmaceutical cure comes in there, and then you've got as a reaction to that, the person gets on the drugs. They become hooked on the drugs, or they become affected by the drugs in such a way that they're not themselves anymore. And it starts a cycle, a very vicious cycle, and the cycle brings them down the road to where they need more drugs and other drugs. And the psychiatrists are not going to say, well, we're not going to, you know, I'm not going to give up my profession. This drug is not only not working, it's backfiring. These doctors are going to say, well, it didn't work in this case, but we can find another drug. And so you've got this situation going on time and again. I did a show a number of years ago, two, three years ago, by a guy who had come across this same type of information and had written three or four books. And the guy was absolutely astounded as to what he found and felt like he needed to inform the public. Here's the thing. We are not just masses of cells. We are human beings. And you can't just dump a bunch of chemicals inside people and expect them to be cured. Okay, and we've got a phone call here. It's at 613 on KOBE. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, thanks for calling in, and I'd love to have your opinion.
Well, I think we're on a very slippery slope when we're trying to look at pharmacology, but the number one factor I see with these shootings is that they get a ton of publicity. Someone who no one even notices for years upon years, all of a sudden they're making movies of the week about them. And so I don't ever say their names. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the problems. But the real problem in that church was when he pulled out his gun, nobody shot him dead.
I agree. And so this is the conversation that I have with people time and time again. If you've got open carry or if you've got concealed carry, you're not going to have a shooting gallery situation where the person can just pick off one individual after another. I've got Bev here who teaches shooting, but Michael, how do you think that all people in America should be trained in how to use a gun?
Well, only if, you know, and Bev says it too, you know, if you ain't going to shoot, don't carry the gun. Don't try to intimidate a person who may be just completely crazy. So that's number one no-no, is don't try to intimidate people who are completely crazy. But the point about it is there was a shooting in San Antonio after the shooting in Denver. And what happened was a guy broke up with his girlfriend and he charged into this theater with his gun, but there was a deputy sheriff off duty in there who had a carry, you know, and she put a stop to that guy. Otherwise, we'd have had another 15, 20, 25, and everybody say, well, we're going to have to ban guns forever and ever. But I was talking to you and Walt Rubel, and I made the point that you can't stop people from getting drugs. You can't stop them from getting guns, even if it's illegal.
The genie's out of the bottle.
The genie, well, it's not even the genie, because what do? You know, you're sitting somewhere and a guy comes with a knife. Somebody comes with a hammer. You know, at some point you have to have overwhelming response back. You can't just say, well, I'll just turn the other cheek or you'll get cut in both cheeks, you know?
Yeah, and so anyway, let me ask you this. We've got a right to Second Amendment. There's a lot of people, though, that would never have their kids around guns. They think they're inherently, they treat them like, they look at them like nuclear material just to be around them, you know, is a negative impact. What could we do to make people more aware of their rights to carry arms and defend themselves and maybe kind of encourage them to get some training and to think differently about this?
Well, let's from the very core, let's not say it's about the Second Amendment. Let's say it's actually the Constitution gives you the right to yourself.
I understand that. I just think that there's a lot of ignorance, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a grudge against the Second Amendment. And people look at the Second Amendment and they look at the situation. They think of racism, crazy cracker, a guy that shouldn't have a gun. But nobody thinks about, wow, what if we were a little bit more gun friendly, then we could defend ourselves.
Yeah. And the issue here is, and I'm quite a historian, you can go back any year you want to, there's been gun violence in America. Now, there isn't always gun violence in Switzerland, except every Swiss has a gun. Did you know that?
No.
No wonder. Yeah, they all are required to have at least an M1.
No wonder their cheese has so many holes in it.
Well, they have to have it because it's a requirement. And so when you say that, you know, I was in some store, I forget what store it was, and I made a comment about that I had lived in Japan. And they said, oh, it's just so bad about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I said, no, I lived in a little Japanese village called Fusunaka. And they were very happy for that because they had a military dictatorship that took the country over 20 years earlier and forced them into war and killed a lot of them, and they couldn't say no. So they were sharpening broom handles for the invasion. And it was our Pentagon report said they would have killed 20 million of them. And so I said, no, they were pretty happy about the way to end the war. And she said, I can't believe that. I said, I understand. You know, she can't believe the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't believe the truth, Kelly. Okay.
Michael, I appreciate the call. I got to go to break here, but great points on that. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. All right, folks, going to take a little break here, but dedicating songs this week to Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. But anyway, Kelly O'Connell, it is AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE at 619. And 523-1450 to call in. And if you've got a comment, and today is open Topic Tuesday, or Open Topic Friday. I was thinking Sinking Taco Tuesday, but Open Topic Friday, and we'll be right back. I do have Bev Courtney in here, and she's going to weigh in on this Second Amendment issue. Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Hello.
Hello, it's Kelly.
Yeah, I was just calling on Suboxone.
I can't hear you.
I just wanted to let you know that Suboxone is all it is. It's a lower form of heroin.
Hello, I can't hear you. Yeah. Who is this?
I don't want to go on the radio.
All right, but do you have a name?
Yes, I'm Kathy.
Kathy, okay. And you wanted to say what?
I just wanted to let you know Suboxone is just a lower form of heroin. That's
Suboxone
all it
is a lower form. Okay.
Yeah. They give Suboxone so that it takes off the edge when these guys are coming down so they don't get sick. Or they don't get as sick.
All right. But do you think that it's dangerous? I mean, it's 1% of the
people. Oh, it's all dangerous. It's all dangerous. But what do you want? Do you want somebody that's full-blown gone on heroin, or do you want somebody that's trying to help themselves?
Is it worth it? Let me ask you this. Would it be worth it if 1% of the people or a tenth of 1% went ballistic, went postal? Would it be worth it, the trade-off?
No.
Are you sure you don't want to come on the air? I think this is an interesting conversation. You don't have to.
I'm just talking from experience because I have a son that's in his 20s.
I know, but I'm saying this is the kind of thing that people like to hear, and you don't have to give your name.
No, I'm old hat when it comes to this with my son.
All right.
I just wanted to let you know, and it's pronounced Suboxone.
Suboxone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you.
But it's given readily at the health department.
Well, that's nice.
It's all they have to do. That's all they have to do is ask for it, that they need help.
All right. Okay. So anyway, I'll pass that on. Anything else?
No. Just I don't know what else to say about it because I watch my son fight this, and it's a very hard fight.
Well, I take my. I hope he was able to overcome it.
I hope one of these days he can.
Well, hang in there. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kelly here, and I do have Bev Courtney in the studio with me right now, and Bev, you've heard about this, and this is like this guy looks like the same kind of person that we've seen, this Adam Lanza. They look like a zombie. There's no expression on their face. They're walking around like robots shooting people. No sense of humanity, no sense of compassion or pity. They're just going to go around and shoot a bunch of people in this case. And I think the main thing in this that people are drawing out is that there's these crazy crackers that are going around that that racists that are shooting black people. And, you know, that's not what I take out of this, because, you know, for every white racist, there's another kind of racist out there. And then there's other people that are just truly over the top with a psychiatric problem. The issue here, though, is to me that, number one, we're giving people drugs that are causing these kind of outcomes, number one. And number two, I agree with Mike when he says, I think that we need to be more gun friendly, instead of less gun friendly, because if the only people that are comfortable with guns are criminals, what kind of a culture is it? And I know you're the head of the gun club, so what do you think?
Well, the problem that these kids are exhibiting, it's almost like they have some control from an outside force, whether it's the drugs. Perhaps it's
the
their
devil.
Family that did not teach them to respect other people. Let's just get back to basics. You know, you
But what I'm talking about specifically, not how they were trained. I mean, obviously, if you have a kid that grows up and shoots people, you can say that the kid didn't receive proper training. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about the what's the position? What's your position?
Well,
at
if
the
you're
going to
have people like
gun,
this,
I mean, what's your position as the head of the gun club on this? What's your position?
Well, I'm definitely pro-gun. If people are going to walk around like this, then everybody needs to carry a gun for self-defense, because those people in that church, they just sat there. Apparently, I don't know, they didn't do anything self-defensive. So it's a individual attitude of responsibility for your life and for those others. It's codified in the law that we have the right to self-defense and we have the right to prevent felonies.
All right. So you had mentioned to me the other day that there are people who are churchgoers who have a problem with guns and they would never want a gun in their church. Right?
And that just defies our common sense. It defies the fact that we have that God-given right. You can't remove it when you go into a building. Remove it if you walk into a church. Where are all of these events happening? In our churches and in our schools. So it's a cultural warfare, it looks like to me. You call the school a gun-free zone, and then where do the criminals go? These guys that are out of their minds, that they put on drugs, that are like zombies.
We've got a call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hello.
Hello, Kelly.
Is this
Mike?
Mike?
Hi. Hey, Kelly, I was wondering, you know, with these kids that are on these drugs and stuff, can't they get a list of these people that are on these psychiatric drugs and make sure that they don't get a firearm?
I don't know about that.
I know it's a...
Why not just not put them on the psychiatric medication if you know that that's the one of the side effects?
Well, it just seems to me like there should... These people that are having problems, mental problems, should be carefully looked at. And, you know, you don't... It's like this kid that just shot up that church. He didn't even have a legal right to carry a gun.
What you're saying makes perfect sense. I mean, why not? And then let's look at the doctors that are prescribing this medicine, too. I mean,
exactly.
They're on record. So we don't have to take everybody's rights away because you got a few knotheads on psychiatric drugs.
I totally disagree. Get rid of the drugs. This is stupid.
Well, get rid of the drugs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but why? No, hold on a second. Why would you want to, you know, put more rules in there? I just think if the problem, these are all the same case.
Getting,
you got some person who's developed some sort of a problem. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe they can't sleep. Maybe they're antisocial. They go to the psychiatrist. Say, oh, yeah, yes, let me see. Okay, yes, we have some a pill for you. They start taking the medication. They don't get better. They get worse. And before you know it, they've got suicidal thoughts, more antisocial, violent impulses. In a very tiny portion, but a significant portion, are acting out in killing people. It's all the same story. All these people are seeing a psychiatrist. All of them are on serotonin replacement therapy on these drugs. Mike, get rid of the drugs. There's got to be another therapy out there.
Kelly, what about, there's a law in the books that if you have a medical marijuana, if you're on medical marijuana, you cannot carry a firearm.
Get rid of the drugs, Mike, if you want my opinion. What are you going to start doing? Coming up with a list of all of the people you're not going to give the Second Amendment to? That's crazy.
No, what I'm saying is they should be carefully looked at.
You're not saying they should be carefully looked at. You're saying to get rid of the Second Amendment rights for these people, get rid of the drugs. Get closer to the source of the problem. Because a person who can't get a gun can get a knife. Hey, here's another thing, Mike. Do you really think somebody who's a homicidal maniac because they're on this medication is going to follow the rule? You can't have a gun. Are you crazy?
Well, I'm just saying that most of these shootings, these mass killings, have been people that have been on these reuptake inhibitors.
That's my point. Thank you for making my point.
Yeah, it's better to keep a close eye on them. If you have to put them in a hospital or something, it's better than putting them out there in public and with
how
drugs.
How about not putting them on these serotonin drugs that all have a small percentage of people that develop hostility? I mean, come on. It's right in front of you.
And people develop hostility because of the breakdown of the family. You know, if he had a dad...
Mike, you're not looking at the facts here. The facts are these drugs are causing violent outbursts.
Yeah, but what is causing them to put them on the drugs is their troubled youth.
That may be true, but I mean, you're making it worse. Mike, I got to go. Thanks for the call. Folks, we got to take a break here. What I'm trying to say, look, it's right in front of you. We don't need more rules of all the people that can't have a weapon because the people who can't... Hold on a second. The people who can't have weapons are the people that are going to not care about the rules and go get weapons. There's too many weapons out there already. That's why we need protection. Anyway, Kelly here, and we'll be back 6:31. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. It's Kelly here, and I'm with Bev. I've got who is the head of the gun club. I've got a clip here talking about what I just mentioned. I'm totally opposed to what Mike is saying, and I've got a lot of sympathy for the idea that these kids come out of broken homes or bad situations and might be antisocial or didn't get the training, didn't get the time with their parents or whatever. Some people just have problems. But the issue here to me is the trigger, no pun intended, is these drugs. The drugs are making it worse. There is no such thing as a chemical cure. And in a small but significant portion of these cases, we've got violent outbursts. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, just real quick.
Mike, if you call in and I ask you who it is, since this is not a family call, just announce your name. Thank you very much.
Family.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it said, according to the South Carolina court documents, exclusively obtained by radar.
Go ahead.
Rolf,
go ahead.
21 was arrested in Lexington County on a felony charge of possession of cocaine, methamphetamine, and LSD in February 28, 2015.
Yes.
This alone disqualified him from legal carry and purchase of firearm.
Correct.
Now, if we're going to do anything about guns, we should check them out, these people that have, are felons, and people that give. He got that gun as a gift for a birthday present. Why is his father giving him a gun when the kid is on these reuptake inhibitors and is a felon?
I'm sure the dad doesn't know anything about the Suboxone or anything else about these drugs. His dad was breaking the law, but that's just my point. You can't pass a rule and get the guns, the potential for guns. Here's the argument. We live in a free society in which there's a lot of things out there that could harm people. And so the argument is that we've already got guns out there. We know that criminals and crazy people are not going to follow the rules. Therefore, you train and empower the law-abiding portion of the population on guns, and you get guns in their hands, and you get somebody like Bev Courtney to come in and give some gun training so people know how to use a gun, and they're safe.
And we shoot back. We shoot back.
Right. I think that pastor should have had a gun.
Anybody in there could have had a gun, especially
protect
the weaker
flock.
Yeah, protect the flock, absolutely.
Because many of them were women. And even if they didn't have a gun, they didn't have to just sit there and lay down their lives for no good reason. If they were fighting a war, which is a cultural war, then we would feel better today if they would have wrestled that kid down and kept him from this destruction. I mean, now what's his future? He has no future. He could have at least had a chance before he shot 9 people. So this was almost like a setup.
Well, that kid was like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well,
sitting there for an hour.
Letting
sitting
the
there for an hour listening.
Mike, let other people talk, please.
Go ahead, Bev. We don't just open the door and say, come in to a wolf. We protect our families. We protect our flocks. A good shepherd, he always carried us. Today's equivalent is a gun. I wish somebody in there would have had a stick.
Well, I mean, look, I mean...
Or a Glock.
What do you...
Or a Glock.
Mike, thanks for the call. All right. So you can just imagine these situations where somebody's got a gun and they start pointing at people and pulling the trigger and going from one to one. People are terrified, are sitting there like deer in the headlights. And if one other person pulls out a gun, the shooter is then put on notice that they're a target, and that's going to make it harder for them to concentrate. Just out of the box, harder for them to concentrate, and it's going to make it harder for them to, the shooter is going to have a defensive posture. They're not just going to stand there in total command of everything. I've got a little clip here that I wanted to play. Not that we don't appreciate 14 calls from Mike. Here's another call, by the way. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hello,
this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up? Thanks for calling. Hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
Oh, hey, I just wanted to call in. I've been listening to the conversation here, and I agree with what you're saying about the pharmaceutical industry, these medications and so forth these kids are taking, but they're realistic of it. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is huge and very powerful, and they're not going to let go. And
well, we got to fight back, Chris. Don't we got to fight back? How can we fight back?
Well, the thing is, it's like, I'm not really sure there's a clear-cut answer on this, but from what Beth is saying is that we are going to have to arm ourselves. And whether these people, you know, whether on medication they have, like, common sense and think that, okay, well, if I go into a certain area, these people are going to have guns. They may go in there and want to, you know, die by cop or by, you know, citizens, you know. So I also think that Beth has something there, that there is some type of media influence that these kids are also getting with regards to, I'm not going to say like brainwashing, but a lot of influence and like hate.
Well, and Chris, you know, Michael said, hey, you know, these these kids all get to, all these shooters get to media attention. Therefore, I'm not going to say their name. I mean, do you think it's a coincidence that they're doing this trial for this kid up in Colorado, and then we've got another shooter over in Carolina?
Yeah, I don't think there is a coincidence. I think that there's something going on. I can't really pinpoint it. When you have already an administration who's already out to try to find ways to take the Second Amendment, and you can't let a crisis go to waste, you know. So, I mean, we do have a lot of these, you know, shootings that are happening, or they are getting a lot of media attention. Of course, and when you have the little copycats that are going on, it's like, okay, so I can get attention, media attention, like you're saying, to do these things. So whether they can go around in circles with myself, the thing is to say, the best solution that I can say at this time, you can't take the medication from them. You can't go and take their Second Amendment rights from them. The only thing that we can do is what we have control over, and that's to arm ourselves.
You're right, because they don't go where people are. They expect people to be carrying. They go to gun-free zones.
Isn't that obvious? Yeah, that's a great point. They go to schools. They go to churches. They go to theaters.
Right.
These are all places where a coward would show up with a gun.
And people are not, think about a theater. You walk in, it's dark. People's backs are to the door, so they might look vulnerable. But statistics show that where people carry, that even the police are safer because they defuse the situation. And as often as not, they don't even have to shoot the perpetrator. They just deter him, and he ends up running away or getting subdued.
Chris, I got to go. Was there anything else?
No, thanks.
Thanks a lot for the call, folks. Got to take a little break here. And I got a clip for you. I've played from this guy before. It's Peter Bragan. He's a Harvard psychiatrist who's talking about the danger of these drugs. We'll be right back. It's Sam Las Cruces on 1450 KOB. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450. Got Bev Courtney here, head of the gun club, head of the Tea Party. And she is in a froth over this shooting. And these people could have fought back, according to her. We will be right back at 6:44. It's Kelly here.
Hey, Mike, Kelly. This is Jim. I know you're on commercial break now.
I'm sorry. Can I just started. What did you say?
I said I know you're on good commercial break, but I thought I'd catch you with a comment.
Well,
as long as I got.
Jim, let's bring it on the air. I'll put you on hold for just a second.
Sure.
Well, it's Kelly here, and I've got Jim on the line. Thanks for the call, Jim, and what's on your mind?
Good morning, sir. My comment was, Kelly, that I've had discussions with people on this gun issue before, and I do have a concealed carry license, and I know that whenever I go to church, because of all that's going on, I go into a theater, you look back at the door, and you pray to God that nobody comes barging through that door. But if there is, somebody has to be there to take them out. But my comment is this. When I've had discussions with people about who should carry and who shouldn't carry, or those are what I quote, unquote, outlaw guns, I just ask them the simple question. If I took every gun in the city or the world and put them in a pile, give me one gun that would jump up and shoot somebody. It doesn't. It's the people that shoot.
Not only that, but we got to say again and again here that it is the people who are law abiding, that you pass 1,000 laws, they'll obey every one of them. Those are not the people we need to worry about. It's the people that are not law abiding. It's illegal to murder people. Therefore, getting a gun just because you're a felon doesn't mean anything to these people. They have a murderous intent. So it is ridiculous to think if we pass another law, we're going to make this America a paradise.
Maybe it's a psychiatrist.
Go ahead, Jim.
They're going to get it underground, just like during Prohibition. They got their booze underground, found out that did not work. I think a lot of people, and I've talked with people that have no idea that when you go for a gun permit, they think you walk in, you sign it, and you're down the line, you get a gun. You go for FBI background checks. If there's something in your history, they're not going to get that license. If you're a criminal, you're not going to apply anyway.
Exactly. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we've got this is a dedication to Caitlyn Jenner. And so anyway, take a break. And 649 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. Come back and play a little clip on the violence and the drugs. Caitlyn Jenner. Folks, I got a little clip here, and it's from Peter Bregan, doctor from Harvard, and he said a psychiatric medicine equals violence. Check it out. Played this guy before, and if you're a listener, you've heard him. I've got another clip that's very bizarre. They're talking. It's Mr. Lemon, Don Lemon, and they've got this woman pacing back and forth. It's a live shot, and she's screaming out, "White people are terrorists. Obama's a Uncle Tom," and all this stuff. I thought you might find it interesting. It was on CNN. This lady is standing eventually. This lady is eventually stands right behind these two correspondents and is just shouting into the camera. I've never seen it. And they wouldn't turn off the cameras. I've never seen anything like it. It's a very angry black lady in Charleston right after the shooting. Right there. See So anyway, she's just standing right behind the camera, right in the scene, saying, "Are you angry, Don Lemon?" She asked him about 10 times, and then she says, "Obama is an Uncle Tom, and he's just a puppet." And she's just standing. So I've never seen anything like they don't cut away. But anyway, so there's obviously a lot of anger out there. To me, it is not a racist issue, although this guy might have been a terrible racist or is a terrible racist, but it is about these psychiatric medications that they're giving these people that they're making them worse. Bev, we got about 1 minute left, but what is your just overall feeling?
If I were those news people, I would want to be wearing my gun, and I would not want to turn my back to that angry woman, because anger is destructive, and I'd want to keep my eye on her. And all these people that are angry, just steer clear of them. And keep your guns, because we shoot back.
There we go. All right, so we're talking to Bev Courtney. She's the head of the gun club and the Tea Party. And there's, after all of these things, there is always a call out for, getting rid of, certain types of guns, banning guns. We've got a complete wall of silence from the media on the fact that guns are not only might not be the ultimate problem, but could be the answer in these situations if there were more trained and armed and informed people out there to stand up to these crazy shooters. What is the address of the contact info to we got about 15 seconds. How do people get a hold of you?
You can email American Gun Culture Club @gmail.com, and we have on the internet, American Gun Culture Club blogspot.
Okay, we got Bev Courtney here, and I've got the weather guy is in the studio coming in too, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 6:59. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, while you're off air, I just want to ask you. Hey, I tried to call 523-1450, and I got the number for La Frontera. Do you know what? You know what's going on there?
No, but I got people calling in that are getting through on the numbers, so I have no idea.
Well, I got through this time, but I just wanted to mention that. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Have a good day.
Sure, bye.
It is Kelly and 7:06 on the 19th of June. We've been spent the first hour talking about the shooting in Carolina, the racist shooter, and really the position that I was taking, and we got some phone calls in on this. Number one, all of these shooters are under psychiatric care. So the idea that they're just kind of wandering around out there and just, you know, just violently wandering around without anybody knowing about it is not true. Number two, they're on psychiatric medication that actually causes, in a small percentage of the cases, violent outbursts and very disturbed thinking. And the response from this studio, anyway, is give people training and allow them to carry so that they can defend themselves, so they're not just sitting ducks in churches, in theaters, in schools. Okay. Now, I do have Bob Endlich here. We're going to be talking about the weather, but just to go over some of the stuff, other that's going on in the news, there's a huge amount of things going on with the border. We've got huge amounts of people surging over the border. And in addition to that, there have been over 100 murders from violent felons that the United States government allowed to stay in the country knowing that they were violent. No one's been fired for that. 65,000 criminal aliens were released on the streets. Let me ask you this. 5,000 released in Arizona. 280 arrested in Midwest for robbery, burglary, battery, hit and run. So let me ask you this. Even if you agreed 1,000% with Obama on the immigration policy that he's developed, which is ad hoc, which is kind of against not just the some of the laws that we've developed, but the very spirit of having a sovereign nation means that we keep out people that don't go through the proper processes of coming in. Even if you buy into that, do you really support him allowing violent felons to come in and stay? That is the thing that makes me understand that this president quite possibly does not have the best intentions for the American people. How else do you spin it? Okay, the Greek banks are on the verge of collapse and may not open next week. And a lot of other stuff in the media. I've got a guy coming in on Monday, and it just so happens this is after the Mexican national exorcism that they're going to do in Mexico or have done. We're going to do a show on demonology. I was talking to him a couple of days ago, and a minister, and he told me that he thought a lot of problems in society were related to demonic activity. I said, you want to come on the show and talk about? Be my guest. So anyway, we got Bob Endlich here, and he wants to talk about the encyclical that I mentioned to you the other day, the Pope has taken on global warming. And Bob, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely.
All right. There is a lot of discussion in the news today, and one of the items I found was in a publication called the UK Catholic Herald, discussion of the Pope's encyclical. And so I want to quote a little bit from it and then comment. Quoting from the encyclical, it is, still, we can see that the things are now reaching a breaking point due to the rapid pace of change and degradation. These are evident in large-scale natural disasters. This is what I take issue with. You know, what was that? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities. Don't remember that. So what I have is, I've got some information that talks to how that's not exactly the way it is. Let's just take floods. In 1887, on the Yellow River in China, over 900,000 perished. In 1939 in North China, over 500,000 perished. In 1642 in China, over 300,000 perished in the flood. Even in 1099 in England and the Netherlands, over 100,000 people were killed. Another one in the Netherlands was in 1267, a great flood, where more than 50,000 were killed. So to say that flooding is one of these great natural, large-scale natural disasters just doesn't work. So let's try tornadoes. Well, in the U.S., we have a lot of tornadoes. This is the poster child for severe weather. And we did have Tri-State tornado, March 18th in 1825, where we had 689 people were killed. In 1884 in the southern U.S., over 600 people were killed in a tornado. Mississippi and Georgia in 1936, overnight between April 5th and 6th, 419 were killed. St. Louis, 1896, 400 were killed. So you can't say that it's tornadoes that's a problem. Let's look at fires. There is a great fire in Peshtigo, Wisconsin. In 1871, over 1,500 people died in that fire. There is another one in Minnesota, up in the Northern Plains. October 12, 1918, we had over 500 people die. Hinckley, Minnesota, in 1894, over 400 died. So it's not fires. So it's not floods. It's not fires. And this is, I think, the 10th year since we've had a Cat 3 hurricane strike the United States. So it's not hurricanes.
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes are down also.
If could it be the calm before the global warming inspired storm, Bob?
I'm not buying it. So I'm a scientist. So I take what people say. And
is that the kind of shirt scientists wear? Like you just got back from Bermuda.
Just got back. Last week I was in D.C. And
how many people were at the climate conference?
I can't tell you exactly. It was on the order of 400. It was in a hotel in D.C., very close to Capitol Hill, the Washington Place Hotel, and Washington Court Hotel. And it filled up their dining room. So, it was sold out. A lot of like-minded.
Well, now, okay, so this might be people who, professional scientists, were a little bit more on the doubting side.
Indeed.
Doubting Thomas and Thomasinas.
And there's a lot of scientists there, but there are a lot of non-scientists there. People who are experts in, for instance, communication, some with one of the scientists that I met runs the Center for Carbon Dioxide. And the public interest and global change. His name is Craig Idsoe, brilliant fellow. He's a biologist. He's got a lot of experimental data that shows that when you increase carbon dioxide, the productivity of the plants, and just think about it, we depend on plants for our carbohydrates.
Yes, our sustenance. So there's something that there's a phrase called monomania. I think it was in Dostoevsky's famous Crime and Punishment. The guy in there had monomania. Monomania is when your mind is overtaken by one thing. It seems to me, Bob, that there is monomania in the conversation about the weather. Everything is caused by one factor, global warming. You've seen that time and again.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, in our local Las Cruces Sun News, back in 2012, three prominent PhDs said, well, it's global warming and our use of fossil fuels that's caused those forest fires in Texas, those wildfires in Texas near Bastrop. Remember that happened? There was a conflagration over several days. And when I flew out of El Paso to the east, looking out, you could see all of the rivers were at flood stage, and there was water standing in the fields. The lakes were full. The drought is over. And certainly when post-tropical storm Bill went into central Texas, it dumped another 6 to 12 inches of rain. If you look at the drought at the Oregon Mountains, east of the Oregon Mountains, there's no drought at all in New Mexico. And west of the Oregon Mountains, there is still some moderate drought. And up in the northwest corner, there's a little bit more severe drought. But and that's associated with the drought that's in California. But we've gone into a La Nina, from El Nino, excuse me. We were in 2011 in La Nina, which is dry from Arizona all the way to Florida. Now we've gone to El Nino, which is
heavy El Nino. Heavy El Nino. I hear that all of the models are saying a heavy El Nino this year.
Well, indeed, I've been looking at that. Normally, a classic El Nino happens at the time of Christmas when abnormally warm water appears off the coast of Central and South America. It didn't happen this year. It's come a little bit later. It's sort of out of sync. But I call it a misfire El Nino. But certainly from Doña Ana County east, there is, and well into Texas and Louisiana, I mean, the rivers are way up flood stage.
Well, I mean, the entire state, it would seem, of Texas is really soaked in the ground.
That's true. And you can look at the long term. We have 100 years of drought data, and there's been no increase of drought over the entire United States over the last 100 years. So when you hear politicians say, well, it's our use of fossil fuels that's causing increased drought, the numbers show that's just not true, Kelly.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking to Bob Enlicka. He's going to respond to this statement by the Pope. Remember, I had said to you a number of occasions, there's a religious impulse, not just on the right, the Christians who support the conservative ideas, and then you've got atheists and agnostics and libertarians that are also part of their group. But on the left, remember I mentioned that, in my opinion, there's a very strong religious element in leftism, and it is messianic Marxism, and that's what I believe is the belief of the Pope.
Liberation theology.
Liberation theology is the expression of it in a theological setting, but I believe beyond the Pope's beliefs on that is a deep-rooted kind of buying into humanism that has a religious fervor. It is this idea that Marxism is going to rise up and heal the world. It's a very scary, excuse me, to hear any politician talk about it, but to hear a religious leader is just bizarre. Anyway, we're going to come back and talk to Bob Endlich about this, who has his own sense of alarm and disagreement with it. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOPE, 523-1450 to call in. And we got Bob here. I've got a phone call, Loaf. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. Who is this?
Yes, Kelly. I couldn't resist. It's
Mike. Mike, if you don't announce your name, I can't have you on.
Well, it's Mike.
Thank you.
Kelly, I'd like to ask Bob, is there a possibility that California could have floods with this El Nino effect? I mean, Kelly mentioned the models. I was listening to a weatherman in Arizona the other day, and he's really good. And he said that it could solve their drought, but they could get floods just like Texas.
Well, let me put it this way, Mike. There have been a number of situations where California has gone from the extreme. And in the early 1860s, there was a flood. And what is now in the Sacramento Valley was in several feet of water. And the early Californians from that time, they came in right after the gold rush. They were talking to the natives, and the native says, hey, folks, you haven't seen anything. You should have seen the one that happened 50 years ago. So, and you know from looking at the news that we go from these drought periods and people putting green paint on their lawns because they can't water, to heavy rains where the houses are washing off the cliffs and into the rivers and stuff like that, and it's on national TV. Well, that is sort of like a boom and bust cycle between La Nina and El Nino, and unfortunately, none of the models does a very good job of forecasting the onset, but it is certainly within the realm of possibility. What's happened right now, Mike, is the fact that there is what we call a blob. It's a large area of abnormally warm water.
I had told people about the blob, and what I didn't understand, it's not El Nino. So where did it come from? How did it get there?
I don't think, well, I certainly don't know, and I don't know that anyone knows. But can look at the satellite data, and we can see the temperature of the oceans. And normally what we do is we look at the differences in the temperature from the average. And there is this abnormally warm water off the Northern California coast, and that's inducing high pressure, which induces northwest flow, which makes it dry.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call, Mike. All right, I'm sure Mike will call back for the fourth round. But anyway, so the Pope... okay, we got another call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tom.
Hey, Tom, thanks for the call. Hope you're doing well. And what's up?
Well, I just wanted to say I really appreciate Bob Endlich being on the radio, and he's a wealth of knowledge that we all benefit from him being on the radio. And I remember when he was with Michael Slickert, and we appreciate you having him on, Kelly.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and thanks for the call. Was that it?
That's it.
Thanks a lot. Bob, at least one person out there appreciates you.
Well, that's nice to know. I mean, I did make my living out at the health staff doing forecasting the weather for those guys.
It is a start, Bob. One is a start.
All right. But, you know, let's just take a step back with Pope Francis in this encyclical and the notion of the papal pronunciations having to do with science. It's not a very good record. The classic example, of course, is from the time when the church declared that
Galileo.
The Earth was the center of everything.
Yeah,
a geocentric solar system, and things were going well with that declaration up until the time this fellow Galileo was observing the orbit of Mars, and he noticed that when Mars, which takes 2 years to go around the sun, it would move in its path and then it would back up. And this repeated. It would back up and then proceed again. And this happened in a biennial cycle a number of times. And he said, hey, folks, the only way this computes is that the sun is at the center, not the Earth. So it's a heliocentric, not a geocentric solar system.
And that made him very popular.
That made him so unpopular, he was put in house arrest, and he was forced to recant. But it doesn't matter what the church forced him to do. We know now that the sun is the center of the solar system, not
the Earth.
All right.
So this Pope, I mean, if you had a chance to, if you met the Pope at a cocktail party, you had a chance to give him 5 minutes of your mind, what would you pass on to him?
Well, I would tell him to go back to his chemistry. He was a chemistry instructor in South America, and chemistry is a hard science. And if you look at the data, and you have to look at the data, and you look at the Al Gore's book, where he talks about, on page 66, 67, he talks about that when the carbon dioxide goes up, the temperature goes up. Actually, it's the other way around. It is the fact that when the water warms up, carbon dioxide comes out of the water, and there's a lag there.
All right, so should we want more carbon in the atmosphere?
We certainly should, because when the carbon dioxide in the air gets was low, and it was that way 20,000 years ago, the plants die from carbon dioxide starvation. And we can go out just to Los Angeles, to the La Brea Tar Pits, and look at the juniper trees, and we can see that 20,000 years ago that the junipers starved from not enough carbon dioxide in the air. A similar result happened in Georgia, where the deciduous trees in Georgia collapsed because of not enough carbon dioxide in the air. We've had a lot more carbon dioxide in the air with no deleterious effects.
And not only that, but isn't it true they pulled Nancy Pelosi out of the La Brea tar pits?
Mike, that's a terrible thing to have said.
No, I'm just, it was a, just, I'm sorry, it was a guess.
That was really bad.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, we'll take little break here. We'll be right back and talk to Bob Endlich about the Pope's pronouncements on the science. And I believe Brother Kevin is calling in to tell us about this giant fire and heat wave up in Alaska. We'll be right back. But we're going to go on with the encyclical on science with Bob Endlich. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. This is Susan. I talked to you yesterday about the TPP agreement.
Yeah.
I looked into this a little bit more, and it's pretty frightening. I don't want this issue to die. I know that they went ahead and passed it yesterday, but this looks like a potential nightmare, more so than the Obamacare.
It sounds like it. We're in the middle of this show on the weather. Any chance you could call in Monday?
Well, yes. So maybe at the end of your show, please let people know that, you know, this issue needs to be brought to the forefront.
Okay.
And I hope that you as an attorney, because I'm not an attorney, has too much legalese that I don't understand. But you need to research this, please.
All right. Well, I'll put some time aside for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. And we're going to talk to Bob Endlich, but on this crazy Vatican science story, but a few other things. Hollywood herpes scare. Now that they've hacked into this information, now there are stories on which stars need medication on set for their herpes. Another story is Brian Williams apparently has discovered the theory of sin because he says there's a bad urge inside of me, but he's going to be able to express that bad urge on MSNBC. And the third one here, chaos in Libya paving way for Islamic State expansion. Don't forget, we supported Muslim Spring. We supported any rebels that were against the government, and they all turned out to be Muslim radicals. And now we're paying the chickens are coming home to roost, and we got nobody to blame but ourselves or our dear leader. Anyway, Bob Endlich
can talk about this papal encyclical. And you asked me a question, if I could talk to the Pope, what would I tell him? One of the things I would tell him is the next time he goes off on a trip, he flies on, I think it's Alitalia, out of the Rome International Airport.
You mean the Popemobile is not a flying car?
Well, yeah, I think they got a transport that moves the Popemobile around.
All right, all right.
But when he goes, he flies out of the airport, which I think is called the Fiumicino. Airport. When you take off from there to the south, it's very close to the Tyrrhenian Sea. And when you take off, you can see the Roman port. It's called Portus. It was built by the Emperor Trajan.
As a matter of fact, it was built to bring grain in from Africa.
That's right. And the reason it was built by the Emperor Trajan was because the old port of Rome, Ostia Antica, got to be too small, and they need another port. Now, if you look at at Google Maps or look this up, you'll find that sea level had to have been a lot higher back then because it's like 2 miles inland. And the present airport is closer to the sea than the old Roman port, which means that sea levels had to have been a lot higher. So a lot of this scarum is about we are causing sea level rise, but sea levels were higher in the time of the Roman Empire than they are now, and they fell during the Little Ice Age, and now they're rising again. But this is not something that's caused by our use of fossil fuels. This is part of the natural sequence of what happens when the climate on the Earth changes naturally.
Okay, and so do you think that the Pope is misusing his position? I mean, I know you're not a Catholic, and I know that you're not a theologian, but in your opinion, I know we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted. I just wanted to say I wanted to salute Bob for presenting a divergent point of view, but I want to address what are we going to do about global warming. You know, the thing, I've seen a lot of missteps here. In fact, my neighbor just finished taking off the the hot water panels off his roof that he got that he put on in the 80s. But the thing is that can either of you give any kind of recollection of when we have actually kept oil in the ground? What I see is I save money buying a Prius. Of course, they're mining a lot of rare earth metals around the world and to make that battery. But the gas that I save, my neighbor burns up with his SUV.
Ted,
and if we have any extra, we put it in a big tanker and ship it off to the Asians.
Ted, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mothership to Ted. You're kind of producing a word salad here. What's your point?
Well, my point is that every bit of fossil fuel that's economically available, aside from coal, now coal will choke you. The Chinese are finding that out. Will be brought up and burned.
Yep. Yeah, and?
That's my point. Well, the point is, are we going to limit our own industry and make ourselves clean while the rest of the people people burn stuff?
Ted, one question. You do or don't believe in global warming, so Bob can respond.
Okay. Well, I just want to congratulate Bob for presenting a divergent point of view. Yeah.
Ted, you might be on a caffeine high here this morning, but back off the Mr. Coffee. But you are in favor or you're supporting global warming theory or you don't think it's true?
It's global warming has been occurring since the last ice age. I mean, it's definitely warming up. It's been warm before. The people that are down in the coal mine can see the tree rings in some of the coal.
Let me respond to some of that, Ted.
Sure.
What you say is true, but even after the Little Ice Age, there have been periods of warming and cooling. We know now, we found out around 1998, that there's this phenomenon called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. And what it does is it deals with whether or not off the immediate coast of North and South America, the waters are abnormally warm or cold, and there's a 60-year cycle. So a couple of years ago when we were in the drought, we were mirroring the drought in the 1950s here, and we're likely to see another, after this El Nino, another dry spell. You talk about burning up all the fossil fuels. That's not going to happen in our lifetime. Fracking is releasing the hydrocarbons
in
shale.
They haven't even used fracking in South America or the Middle East yet. There is not going to be an end to oil as we understand it. The peak oil theory was a total hoax, and we don't even know what causes oil. We don't know if it's a naturally occurring event or is it the swamp grass that is we were taught as kids. Well,
okay, Kelly, but my point is, why are we going to make ourselves poor over here and we do nothing over here except make pizza and sell life insurance to each other?
What do you want us to do?
The rest of the world is burning fossil fuels.
Ted, listen, Ted, you're really hard to follow this morning. It's not like your normal call. What do you want us to do?
Oh, well, what I'm telling you is we're a little bit arrogant to think that we can control the climate of the earth by regulating what the fossil fuels that we burn here in the United States. That's it in a nutshell.
I agree with Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. You're absolutely correct. But if you look
that was my point.
You look at the record.
Okay, thanks for the call.
All right. Look at the record that we see in the ice core data, we know that 3,500 years ago was a lot warmer than today. And 2,000 years ago, it was a lot warmer than today. And 1,000 years ago.
We've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. We're running out of time so briefly.
Yeah, hi, Kelly, Dr. Tony. Question. Maybe Bob can comment on the differences between ground-based temperature data and satellite-based. Seems like there's a big discrepancy between them, and it sounded to me like the satellite base would be more objective and more accurate.
Well, you're absolutely correct. The satellite data actually measures that we hear about greenhouse warming. The satellites measure the temperature in the greenhouse. There are two groups that read out that data, remote sensing systems and the University of Alabama at Huntsville. And you're indeed correct. There has been no global warming in the troposphere, in the greenhouse, for 18 and a half years. So clearly the concentration of carbon dioxide is not affecting the greenhouse temperatures as measured by the NASA satellites. So they are
Until you change the data.
Yeah, that's very true, and that was made by a wonderful point was made, and you can find it on YouTube, by what's considered to be America's premier scientist. I can't remember his name right now, but it's kind of a strange name. But anyway, Tony, anything else?
That's it. Thanks. Talk to you later, Kelly.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, folks, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back to talk more to Bob about the fictions being passed around by the Pope. Is this your Pope? Is he a Marxist? does the Pope have a right to be a Marxist? Does he have a right to make false statements about science? Come back and discuss that. Kelly, here with, of course, Bob Endlich. Just something we were talking about off the air that I thought you might find interesting. There's a scholarly debate over where oil comes from. Many people understand from their seeing the pictures as a kid that it was swamp grasses and dinosaurs that died that was turned into oil. Other people believe it's created by a natural process deep in the earth. And then there's a kind of a hybrid theory that says that there's microorganisms that live and die at deep levels, and when they die, they turn into oil. And Bob,
I think there's both. There's reason to believe that there is more than one origin for oil. Certainly, the Russians have published, probably for the last 15 years, that they've drilled wells very, very deep, 40,000 feet, and they're still finding oil in those extreme depths, much deeper than we would expect to find the biotic source. So
there is
both a biologic or a biotic and an abiotic.
Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Michael. Hey, happy late birthday to Bob Endlich.
Why, thank you kindly, Michael. How are you doing this fine day?
Good listening to you. There's a correction about something that you guys were saying about fracking. Fracking isn't what turned on the oil spigot. It was horizontal drilling, where normally you would get 100 barrels a day from a well. You're getting 1,000 because you horizontally drill out, 3,000, 5,000 feet, so you get so much more oil. That's what actually increased our output. The fracking is important in the sense that we've been doing fracking for 70, 80 years, we've been opening those small capillaries around where we're drawing the oil in. But the thing that made it much better for America was horizontal drilling. Enjoying your conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Michael. All right, I've got one more thing here that was kind of interesting that I was just starting to mention to Bob when we went on the air. There is a moon that I'm trying to remember. I think it goes around Saturn, but whatever it is, it's in our galaxy or in our solar system, and it's got a cryovolcano on it. It's got a volcano that is constantly pumping out frozen methane. So the question there is, if oil, methane and coal and oil are all related elements that are created through the same process, if that's created on a planet or a moon that doesn't have life, where does oil come from? Or petroleum?
Well, let's just take two steps back and realize that hydrogen is the most abundant element in the universe. And carbon is also a very, very abundant element in the universe. So the fact that we should have hydrogen and carbon together should not be a surprise to anyone. But what's amazing to me is the fact that when you put hydrogen and carbon together, these hydrocarbon fuels that we use, we find that it's very, very safe, and there is an incredible amount of energy. Last week at the climate conference, there's a fellow who talked about the fact that how these alternative energies are playing out, and he used electric cars as an example. In an electric car, you can go about a half a mile for a pound of fuel, which is a pound of battery. You can go 6 miles for a pound of hydrocarbon fuel.
And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Kelly. I'm calling you to talk about something a little off subject. But,
yeah, go ahead.
It's 10 minutes to go on your program.
Yeah, hey, this is Joe.
Hey, this is Joe.
Joe, okay, yeah, go ahead. You're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead, Joe.
Kelly, I just had an experience yesterday. I was going up to Leesburg, and I always take the old highway, 85. Your Valley Drive turns into 85, you know. And you get up there to the bridge that crosses that big ditch to Leesburg, and it's closed down.
Huh.
I had to come back, all the way back to Doñana to get the freeway. I just wanted to know, if people don't know that, it's really frustrating.
Okay, so one more time. Where exactly was it? Was the road shut down?
Up there where you go, you get 85, the old Valley Drive turns into 85, and you're going up to Leesburg.
Yeah.
And you want to go up to the Leesburg and maybe get the freeway from there. That little bridge there across that big ditch is completely closed down.
Wow.
And nobody knows about it. I didn't know about it. I had to come clear back to Doñana and get the freeway.
How many extra miles did you go?
Well, it's about like 10 miles.
That's a lot. Well, I really appreciate you putting that out there, Joe. We're running out of time, but thanks a lot. Have a great day. Have a nice weekend. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. And I'm going to ask Dr. Bob what one thing that the Pope put in his encyclical that he most disagreed with. And it's Am Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. We will be right back. So we got Bob here, and just to let you know, the left is treating Caitlyn Jenner as a goddess. That it is just a superb achievement by Bruce Jenner to get this superficial sex change. What I don't think he's going to lose all of the junk in his trunk. So I think he sees himself as a lesbian, and he's moving in that direction. Anyway, Bob, if you chose one thing to disagree with the Pope on his encyclical on global warming, what would it be?
It's this quote. We know that technology based on the use of highly polluting fossil fuels, especially coal, but also oil and to a lesser degree gas, needs to be replaced without delay. That's just wrong. The Pope speaks of life. Carbon dioxide is the elixir of life. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. We learned in grade school, you know, with the terrarium, with the plants and the frog, that you know, you can seal it and it'll all work together. They're symbiotic.
Yes.
So this is political speak. That's politics. That is not science. Carbon dioxide is not a science. All of our carbohydrates originated in carbon dioxide in the air. And if the Pope is indeed wanting to be concerned about the poor, one of the things he wants to be concerned about is feeding the poor.
Yeah.
And when there's more carbon dioxide in the air, the amount of productivity of plants goes up dramatically. For instance, if you look at just wheat and go 300 parts per million above the present, wheat goes up about 35%. There's a whole bunch of studies, and that's published.
It's like having a greenhouse.
Well, exactly. And in greenhouses, they actually add carbon dioxide to make the plants grow faster and make them more stronger and more productive. You know, it is not a pollutant. It is the elixir of life. And almost everything we do in terms of alternative energy has turned out to be wrong. Look at ethanol. Ethanol is very, very inefficient, and it produces three times the carbon dioxide, uses 1,000 times the amount of fresh water, and it also converts food into fuel for vehicles, and that's run up the price of corn and everything for the poor.
Ridiculous. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming in and going a few rounds with the Pope.
And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The Pope was unfortunately not able to come. We sent out an invitation, but I guess he's too busy.
Next time.
Next time, hopefully the Pope will be here. Maybe you'll hang out with Bishop Cantu, who's also on the global warming bandwagon. And these guys are so busy saving the world. Monday, a show on demonology. I'm excited. I heard some stuff from this guy I'd never heard before. So Kelly O'Connell, thanks for tuning in. It's AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. And we will take you out with our dedication to Bruce Jenner. Have a great weekend.